Go to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. Now we're looking at David, and we're looking at the blessings of a clean life. In verse 47, please pay attention, says this, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I just want you to know tonight, the battle is the Lord's. And he wants you to know that there is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is someone who loves you so much. And there is a God who died for you on the cross of Calvary. And my hope is that the next generation and the generation after that would know that there is a God, and that God is powerful. He's powerful. We look at the story of David and Goliath. David was probably a teenager. Goliath was about 12 foot tall. And all it took was one smooth stone for the Lord, where David said, "Is there not a cause?" And there's a great cause this day. The cause is the souls of teenagers, is the souls of men. The greatest cause today is that, is the blessings of a clean life. I want to try to preach on this subject tonight, the blessings of a clean life. Go to, let me just pray first. Lord, please, God, I want you to show up this night. I want you to show up. Please help these teenagers, that they will leave here different, that this would be a week that would change their life. Oh, God, please, show yourself mighty this night. Show up here, God, in a special way. I pray you put a stillness, a quietness in this room where you would just go right into the hearts of these teenagers and you would speak your truth. God, I pray this. I pray you give me liberty, Lord. Give me liberty. And we ask these things in Jesus' lovely conquering name. Amen. First thing I want you to know about the blessings of a clean life, it's a life of confidence. Philippians 1:6 says this. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." And then I want you to know it's a life of power. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." And you need to know that it's the very power of God. This thing is real. This is not something that's made up. This is real. David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath is real. It's a life of being free. It's a life of being free. The Bible says in John chapter 8, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Nothing in this life will make you free. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, him alone. And then I want you to know the life of being clean. John 17:17 says, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, and word is truth." Just need to say this, that you need to know that this book is real. This book is the pure, preserved word of God. Amen. And the next hope, the only hope for the current generation and the generation in come, is this precious book here. Amen. Getting it all the way inside your heart. Getting it all the way down. Amen. All the way down. Let me just say this. Remember what it was like when you first got saved. Turn to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Now I hope, and my prayer is, that you're saved, you're a child of God this night. That's my prayer. I hope you're saved. I hope you know that Jesus died for you on the cross. I hope you know, my hope is that you know that Jesus died for you and that he's the only hope. Amen? John 3, verse 8 says this, "The wind blows where it listeth, where it wanteth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of spirit." Now, if you're saved, if you truly are saved, something happened to you, a person. Know it! You should know it, amen? You should know it. And another thing you should know that you have a clean life before the Lord, amen? You should know that. That's not something that's hidden. This, you should know it. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit of God bear witness with you that you are a child of God. Amen? You should know that. Amen? Now, what you experienced for the first time was the cleanness of a holy God moving into your life. Amen? You experienced that for the first time. Jesus, let me just say what Jesus can do for you. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says Jesus, it says, He quickens your life. It says in Ephesians 2, it says, you had He quickened who were dead in trespasses against them. And He gives you a whole brand new life. It talks about the newness of life in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are past being. All things become new, amen? All things, that's everything. It's a blessed life, amen? It's a blessed life. Psalms 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. And it talks about the blessed life, amen? Now, I have teens here in this room tonight. And some of you, there's a good chance there's a lot of people here, and you don't know for sure that you're saved. You think you've experienced something, but you don't know for sure. You should be 100% that you're saved, amen? It shouldn't be anything less than that, amen? You ought to be so sure that you're saved that you've been in heaven already for 1,000 years, amen? You should be that sure of your salvation. It's not something that is guess. It is true. It is real. Just like there's a heaven, just like there's a hell, it is absolutely real and true. Now, some of you may be saved, but you've gotten away from God. Man, you've gotten away from God. And the joy of your salvation is gone. Some of you have strongholds of sin in your life, and you cannot get away from it. Well, let me tell you something. The power of blood is still real. Jesus is still real. And He can make you free from anything. Amen. There ain't nothing. You look at Goliath. Goliath, one smooth stone. That was it. If we only would believe the book. Amen. Let me just say this. Some of you have strongholds. And some of you have quit on God. You've walked away from God. You said, I cannot live the Christian life. Well, that's because you're doing it in your own strength. There's no way you can live a Christian life. You have to be able to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Get the power of this book into your life. And then you can live the Christian life. Amen? Now, let me give you a background. You may come here and you may have a hard heart. Please leave here with a soft heart. Amen. Leave here with a soft heart. You may have come here with a bad attitude. You don't even want to be here. Man, just allow the Lord to change your heart this night. Amen. Just allow the Spirit of the Lord to, just allow Him to change your heart. Amen. He can do it. And then He restores the joy of your salvation. Let me give you a background here. God chose David because David chose God. Psalms 14 says this. It says, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there was any that did right. Any that had understanding. Any seek after God. God is looking down from heaven and He wants to know, do you have a heart after God? Do you really have a heart after God? And is it all your heart? All your heart. David is chosen as the next king of Israel because he had a hunger for God. And God says, I can satisfy that hunger. And let me just say this as well. Samuel anoints him as a teenager. It is, however, going to be many years before he actually becomes king. First in Hebron and then in all Israel. He's going to slay Goliath. He's going to have to run for his life for a good period of his life. He's going to be a leader of a group of men. He's going to become a mighty warrior in battle. And then God, after a period of time, is going to make him king. Amen. Now, David knew the blessings of God as a result of a clean life. And you will only know the blessings of God as a result of a clean life before the Lord. Turn to 1 Samuel now, please. 1 Samuel. I'm glad for the fun, amen. But this is the real reason why we're here, to get right with God. 1 Samuel, please. My burden is for you teens. Just realize you are the next generation. And then, there's such a need for godly teens. And I don't believe this thing called the generation gap, where you're supposed to be less spiritual than your mommy and daddy. I don't believe in that. I believe you can just set your course and the Lord will bless you beyond measure. Amen.
Amen.
Don't swallow that lie. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now David knew the blessings of God is of the clean life. He had experienced past victories as a young teenager. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and I slew him. David had past experience, amen. We need, in order to fight the battles tomorrow, we need to be clean today, amen. We need to be clean today. He had seen the mighty Goliath hit the dust as a result of the unshakable faith in his God. The unshakable faith in his God. Man, if we could only get back to that, to have an unshakable faith in our God. He is able, amen. He is able. And let me just say as well, you know, he had seen how God had protected him and kept him safe from past enemies. He knew what it was to walk with God. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18. Notice three verses here. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. David knew how to walk with the Lord. Amen. And then let me say in verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Amen. And then on verse 30, then the princes and the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by him. Amen. Oh, there's such a need today for teenagers just to get on fire for God. Amen. Just to get on fire for God. And let me just say as well, he knew what it was to be king in all Israel because God promoted him to that position. He knew what it was to be outnumbered and yet get the victory every time because his faith wasn't in himself. His faith was in God. Amen. His faith was in God. But then, one tragic night, everything changed. Go to 2 Samuel now, please. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, we start off good as Christians. If you're saved tonight, you've started off good, amen. He's pulled you up out of the miry clay. He's put your feet on a rock. He's established your goings, amen. But then all of a sudden, some sin comes into our life. Some sin attracts us. And we go the way of that sin, and we lose the blessings of God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, the time when kings go forth to battle, that King David sent Joab and his servants with him, all and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David knows what he's doing here. He sees his sin. It's planned. He knows what he's doing. And he knows the temptation is there. And he's making provision for it. This was no accident. David only saw the pleasure of that sin. He didn't see the consequences of that sin. Are you listening to me, teenager? He didn't see the consequences of that sin. And you know, we, when we see a sin, we see the pleasure of it, but we don't see the consequences. If you look at David, when he's older in his life, he values that righteousness which the Lord has given him back. He keeps that righteous precious before him. Because he knew what it was like to lose it. He only saw the pleasure of sin. Then he has to commit more sin to cover it up. It goes on, he talks about his sins with Bathsheba. He blows it. And then he has to cover the thing up. So he ends up going into more sin. And he ends up committing murder. He murders Uriah, a faithful soldier of David's. And you don't know where your sin's going to lead you. You don't know what it's like. You start hanging out with the wrong crowd. You don't know where your sin's going to lead you. You've a heart that's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. He ends up committing more sin. And then, I want you to know, God wasn't going to let him get away with it. And God's not going to let you get away with it. He's going to expose you sooner or later. God sent Nathan the prophet, 2 Samuel now chapter 12. God sends Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet says, "Thou art the man." And he gives him a little parable, and he says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and it says this in verse 3, "And the poor man had nothing." This is Uriah here, the poor man, save a little ewe lamb. That's Bathsheba. And it says this, "which he had brought and nurtured up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in a bosom and was unto him as a daughter." And then we see David coming into the picture. "And there came a traveler." Now that's not David. "Unto the rich man" is David here, okay? The traveler is that old man rising up inside of David. That's the traveler. That's the wayfaring man. That's the person inside of you called the old man that gets you off track when you don't follow the book. When you don't read your Bible in daily space, when you're not walking in the Spirit, you will go off track and you don't know where you're going to go. You don't know where your sin's going to lead you. God sent Nathan the prophet, puts it in the form of a parable. And David understands by the end of this that he was the man who was guilty before God. And after that, in chapter 12, verse 8 to 13, it talks about the consequences of that sin following him all the days of his life to the very last breath he ever took. Just realize sin is deadly. Sin is deadly serious. It nailed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross, where they put nails in his hands and feet, where his body was racked with pain. Sin is deadly serious. Sin puts the old man upon the throne of your heart. Sin messes up with your understanding. Turn to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 2. I've seen a lot of people walk away from the Lord, and you wonder, what in the world did they walk away from the Lord? Because his sin messes up their understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. If you truly understand how holy a God God is, and how sinful we are, man, you would flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only hope. Amen? Sin is deadly. Sin puts the old man on the throne of your heart. Sin messes up your understanding. Sin entangles you in a web of deceit. David here, he has to lie, and he ends up committing a murder, killing a man. Sin steals away your time. Sin steals away your time. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, just a few pages over. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, talking about the strange woman here. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Man, sin messes up. Sin takes time from you, amen. You know, we're not told how long David was away from the Lord, but there was a child born in the meantime, so David spent quite a bit away from the Lord. And David, at the end of his life, would probably regret that time. He let it slip, amen. Now, let me just say this as well. Sin also affects you physically. Go to Psalms chapter 32, please. Sin affects you physically. Don't think it doesn't. It affects you physically. You look at a smoker, you can tell that person is a smoker. You can tell certain sins, you can just see it in their face, amen. It comes out, what's in the inside comes out to the outside, amen. Psalms 32, please. David is running from God. And you know, the way the transgressor is hard. Psalms 32, verse 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old, though my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned unto the drought of summer. See that? David is crying out on the inside. He knows there's a restless spirit. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest. You cannot rest if you're not right with God. It's just like that. And then, also, sin, if not dealt with, will be exposed. Go to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32. Numbers 32 and verse 23. But if he will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. It will find you out. It will find you out. Isn't it best just to deal with it right now? If you're a Christian, just to deal with it right now, rather than people finding out about it. Man, I'm so glad the Lord has been merciful to me. I'm so glad He's gentle with me. Amen. And then, what does it mean to have a clean life? Let me talk about what it means to have a clean life. It's where you know that you have, but your heart is clean, and you don't need no one to tell you, and you know your heart is clean. It's where you're getting the victory over sin. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So therefore, I should be getting victory over sin. Amen. It is where you have an unshakable confidence in your God. Amen. You have an unshakable confidence in your God. It's where you value your relationship with Him. Amen. It's like where you value this book as hid treasure. Where you know the preciousness of this book. Amen. And it's where you get the blessings back from God. It is the way back to the blessings of God. Amen. Now, so many Christians get caught up in some snare of the devil. The devil is so crafty. The Bible says in John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, destroy. And Jesus says, I have come to give life, give it more abundantly. Amen. The thing I want you to know tonight is, He's a thief. He wants to steal away your life. He wants to ruin you. It's by God's mercy that you're not ruined already. There is such impurity in this world. It could be hanging out with the wrong crowd. And you think, well, what's the big deal? I'm only hanging out with the wrong crowd. Go to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 13. Right in the middle of the Bible, Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But the last part says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Man, be careful who your friends are. Be careful who your friends are. Just realize those same friends may get you off course. And is it worth losing the blessings of God in your life? Man, let's just get serious about God. Those blessings of God are real. They're real. It could be listening to the wrong music. You know, you listen to 96 FM and you find yourself getting conformed naturally to the world. Just the world's influence. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That gives you understanding back, amen? It could be watching ungodly movies. Hey, if you're watching a movie and there's an F word in that movie, you're supposed to turn that thing off, amen?
Yeah.
I mean it. Yeah. Teenagers, come on. If you hear profanity, just turn it off. It could be dishonoring your parents. Your parents tell you to do something, and you say, and you have a rebellious spirit in you, and you may even do it, but there's rebellion on the inside. Man, you lose the blessings of God when you are rebellious towards your parents, because God said you honor your father and mother, amen? It could be some sexual sin of fornication. It could be pornographic images. You know, a mobile phone, I don't have one, but a mobile phone with a camera is a danger. It's technology. Let me say this, it's technology, but it can be used to destroy you. The images on that thing. You better be careful of your computer. You better be careful of your television. Because God wants you 100%. He doesn't want you 99%. He wants all of you. And He's a jealous God. Jealous God. And then 1 John 5:17 says this. It says, for all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness. Call it what it is. It's sin. If it separates if it breaks that relationship between you and God, it's sin. Call it what it is. And it stops God's work in your life. It makes you unclean before a holy God. See, the problem here is we just don't realize how holy God is. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Revelation 4 says, holy, holy, holy. In heaven, all of the four beasts and the 24 elders, they are around the throne constantly and they're worshipping the Lord. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And then it stops the blessings of God in your life. Go to Psalms 81, please. Psalms 81. Psalms 81, verse 9. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. Now, a strange God or an idol is something that comes between you and God. Because God wants you completely. You're bought with a price. And then verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But notice what happens in verse 12. So I gave them, or verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. The Lord gets put to the side because the children of Israel wanted the world. And it says in verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsel. You know, I'm thinking of the things it talks about in Romans 1. It talks about God gave them over to their own lust. It says their foolish heart was darkened. But you know, in Christian life, as Christians as well, we can be just like that. Where the Lord, as we get into some sin, where the Lord begins to darken our understanding. And what repentance is coming to the light and seeing that sin as ugly, as filthy, as abominable before the Lord, and repenting of it. Amen? Now here, in the story of David, Nathan the prophet comes to David and says, thou art the man. But you know what? The Holy Spirit comes to you and says, you need to get rid of this. This is stopping my relationship between you and me. I love you. I died for you. But this is stopping our relationship. You need to give this to me so I can take it off you and I can bless you once more. Amen. See, we look at David and we judge him and say, oh, David, you fell into that kind of sin. Thou art the man. But the Holy Spirit says to us, in a still small voice, you are as well. Now go to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John was written to believers. And verse 4 says this, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Man, do you have the joy of the Lord? If you're a child of the Lord, of God, you'll have a joy in your heart. A joy. You have the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. If you're a child of God. And the way back to God is found in verses 6 and 7. It says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. The problem with us today, teenagers, is you just don't know how holy God is. Because God dwells in the light. He dwells in the pure light. The pure light. And we think, okay, it's sin, but we in our understanding, we downplay our sin. Sin is filthy. Bible says in 1 John 4:17, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. It's often as well, it's often the familiar passages that we overlook. And they lose their effectiveness. But verse 7 is the verse I want you to look at. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me give you four things tonight that will help you. And if you're a Christian, will help you come all the way back to God. Amen. And if you're unsaved, it can bring you to God for the first time. And you can experience the joy of your salvation. It's kind of like, for me, it was like waking up and realizing I'd been deceived all my life. And realizing for the first time that God loved me and Jesus died for me. And I just had stepped into the light. Amen. First thing I want you to see is based on the promises of God's word. The first thing you need to know as teenagers, it's based not on what I say, it's based on the promises of God's words. A God that cannot lie. He's not capable of lying. He tells the truth 100% all the time. And you need to know that that book you hold in your hand is precious. It's the Word of God. It's preserved. It's pure. It's holy. He preserved it. Amen. And it says, please go there, Psalms 138, please. Hold your place in 1 John. But we'll go to Psalms, please. Psalms 138. Do you ever wonder how precious that book is in your hands? It says in Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise the name of thy loving kindness for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now his name is Jehovah. That is the highest name in the universe. And God's put his book above his word. Amen. I hope you realize that we're not just playing here. We're deadly serious. Sin is deadly serious. The thing I want you to come away from here is that book you hold in your hand is precious. It can change you. It can change you. He's a God that cannot lie. A God that keeps his word. Just go to Psalms 12, please. Psalms 12. It's not man that preserved it. It's God that preserved it. And don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. Psalms 12, verse 6. The word of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou is the Lord, shall preserve them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. He still has preserved it. The book you hold in your hand is the preserved word of God. And then it says also, he's a God that he wants to bless you. Realize that he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. But we're so stubborn and stuck in our sin that we don't allow him. The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Amen. A lot of times Christians, they haven't even tasted of the goodness of the Lord. And they've only gone so far, they've fallen into sin, gone so far, fallen into sin. Their life is an endless cycle. They've not once just believed him wholeheartedly. And let me say then as well, in 1 John chapter 1, it says, it's access by faith. Now faith is not feelings. Amen? Faith is not feelings. A lot of times where we go by our feelings. Faith is not feelings. Faith is believing God with all your heart. Amen. Just like David believing God, it's believing him with 100% of your heart. The opposite to faith is unbelief. It says in Psalm 78, it says, they turned back and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Don't put God in a box. Just allow him to come inside of you. And just allow him, just believe him with all your heart, and just know that he can do anything. Don't ever put a limit on God, amen. He can do anything. He can save your family. He can save to the utmost. But we have to believe him, amen. Now, did you ever struggle with some sin you couldn't get away, just couldn't get the victory over? A lot of Christians in this room, you've struggled with something, and then you tried, and you failed. You know, a lot of times we repent, but we repent of the guilt of that sin. We don't see the ugliness of that sin before God. And when we are truly repentant of our sin, we see that sin in all its ugliness. We see how we've hurt God, and we see that he's a holy, holy God. I mean, you wanted to get the victory over sin, but you just couldn't. Now, a lot of times we repent, And this is what happens. What happens is, we repent, God comes in, cleans our hearts, and we're clean, and then we walk. We go on a few weeks, and then we fall into the same sin. But what happens is, just like Israel, unbelief gets back in there, and we fall into that sin again. And let me just say this as well. It's done by repentance. It's done by repentance. Repentance is seeing your sin as God sees it. Now we're talking about a holy, holy, holy God. Pure, holy. He dwells in the absolute light. He's holy. And when you see your sin before a holy God, you go, woe is me! I'm undone! I'm a man of unclean lips! I dwell in the midst of people of an unclean tongue. You realize just how filthy and how abominable your sin is before God. It's calling it sin. A lot of times we excuse it. We say, well, I've sinned. But we don't see it just as is. All sin separates you from God. All sin is unrighteousness. God is the standard, not us. Then we can appreciate the power of that cleansing. You know, repentance is being in agreement with God. It's saying the same thing as God, amen. It's where your spirit agrees with the Holy Spirit of God. I hope tonight, when your heart, when you repent, you know you've repented. It's not like, a lot of times, you know, the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. But just allow the Holy Spirit to search you. Just to drop those barriers. Let the Holy Spirit get on the inside. And just ask Him, Lord, is there anything in my life that's separating me? And maybe it's something you have to give up. Maybe it could be those ungodly friends. Maybe it's something the Lord wants you to give up. It's turning from your sin then. It's turning back to it. It's going in the direction of God. It's never going back to that sin, amen. That's true repentance. It's never going back to it. Once you've sinned, you've walked away from that sin, you go the other direction, you walk from that sin, amen. And then, let me also say, it is through the blood. Now, we live in a generation. This generation barely knows the power of the blood. We live in a time where, man, it's scary. The next generation doesn't even know the power of the blood. But that blood is powerful, amen? Amen. It is powerful. It can change your life. It can cleanse you. It can take the sin of even murder, the sin of any kind of sin, and it can cleanse you from anything. You know, the Bible says if we've hatred in our hearts, we're a murderer. And we've all have hatred. So we're all guilty before God. There's not one of us. The hymns, the old hymns, the old Christians, they knew the power of the blood. And they knew the cleansing power of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, 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 wonderful power in the blood. They knew it. A lot of times in churches, they get away from the old hymns and they move on to the contemporary Christian stuff. That rubbish. It's the power of the blood. It's the book that saves your soul, amen. Nothing else. If you've gotten the victory over the sin, you realize the power of the blood. That blood is powerful. If there was a timing where you got saved, you realize the power of the blood. You realize that blood was real. And in Old Testament, the high priest, you come into the tabernacle, and it says, go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 7, Hebrews 9, verse 7, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Notice the next three words, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. All of Israel in the Old Testament, they would take a lamb and the high priest just go into the tabernacle and they would put a bell on that high priest because they're afraid that maybe the atonement wouldn't be acceptable and maybe they would have to drag that priest out. Because they knew they were dealing with a holy God. And we need to realize today that He's a holy God. We need to realize that it's God's blood that was spilled on Calvary. It was God's blood. It says in Acts 20, verse 28, it says, Jesus purchased the church with His blood. Amen. And it says, it is life cleansing. It says in the Old Testament, it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And it says in Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. All of sin, amen? There's power, there's wonderful power in the blood. And I hope the next generation will realize there's power in the blood. And the generation after that would realize there's power, wonderful power in the blood. And that blood's in heaven today, amen? And that blood is still real. It's still cleansing. It's still doing its work. If we'll come to Him by faith and we will repent, there's power, power, power in the blood. In the Passover, they sprinkled the children of Israel in Egypt. They sprinkled the blood on the lintel and the side posts. And they knew that that was a covering. They were protected, amen. We still have that same blood. In John the Baptist says to Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. And then when that blood was spilt on Calvary, oh, how precious that blood is. And as teenage Christians, you realize that there's still wonderful power in the blood. And that blood is real. That blood can cleanse you from any sin. It can break the very power of sin in your life. Amen. Can break the very power of sin in your life. All sin. Just like Goliath. Just like Goliath, He can bring him down. That's worth living for and that's worth dying for. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And then, the greatest thing I want you to realize tonight, greatest thing I want you to come away from here tonight, is have a clean life before the Lord. And then just see the blessings of God in your life, amen. Where God would bless you. God would bless you. It says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Is that sin that you're hanging on to right now? Please listen here. Is that sin you're hanging on to right now, is it worth losing the blessings of God in your life? Is it worth losing the blessings of God? God wants to bless you. You know, that sin may lead you on to another sin, and you might find yourself out in the far country. And you don't know how far that sin's going to take you. Man, just deal with it now. Get a clean heart right now. And God will bless you. You know, not all prodigals make it home. Not all prodigal sons and daughters make it back. We think of this thing, we think as a teenager, I can go off and I can do what I want. And then I, as an older person, I can come back to the Lord. That's the lie of the devil. Amen. Amen. As a Christian teenager, you have more opportunity than I have or any older person here. You're young, man. Live it for the Lord. Don't let the devil steal away your youthfulness. Amen. Just realize the devil is a thief. He wants to steal away your life. And then realize as well that there's cleansing power. The blood is real. It's real. And as you examine your heart, just realize He wants to cleanse your heart. He wants to take that sin and He wants to wash it away. Because there's power, power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And then, just realize that God loves you so much. If you're here today and you're not saved, just realize there's a God that loves you so much. He wants to save you. He wants to move in. And He wants to make you a brand new creature in Christ. He wants to take that sin and He wants to just make you so that you know for sure that when you die, you go to heaven. And it's not something that you might know. It's something that you know for 100%. As if already you're on the other side and you're in heaven. You ought to be that sure of your salvation. Amen. It's 100%. Now, if you've never trusted the Lord your Savior, it's so easy. All you have to do is repent of your sin. Just repent of your sin. And then, let me just tell you my little testimony. 2nd of October, 1992, came across a tract outreach, and they were handing out gospel leaflets. And a few times before, I'd heard the gospel. I knew I was a sinner. Everybody in this room, you know you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. And you know the only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he asked me, did I know for sure where I was going when I die? And I was brought up Catholic. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I knew Jesus lived, but I wasn't sure who he was. I didn't realize he was God in the flesh. Amen. I didn't realize when he died on the cross, that was the God-man that was dying for you. Amen. I didn't realize that. And then when I found out that, man, how precious it was. I stumbled over the words. The guy tried to lead me in a sinner's prayer. I couldn't even follow what he was saying. But in my heart, something was stirring for the first time. I realized I was a sinner and I came to the light. I realized that God was holy, holy, holy. And I realized the street corner where I was standing on, that had become holy ground because God was moving in there. He was moving into my life. And you know, God wants to dwell in you. I don't understand that. I don't even understand that. That God wants to dwell in us. God is holy, holy, holy. We are at best. The Bible says that even our best day, we're altogether vanity. We're altogether vanity. God wants to move in. What a privilege. It's like the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The King. There's no higher king than him. He wants to move into your heart in life. What a privilege, amen. What a privilege. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, open that door of your heart and just allow the Lord to come in. He wants to save you. He will save to the utmost. That book is real. The blood of Jesus Christ is real. Heaven is real. And hell is real. Hell is real. You know the most scariest thing about hell is? And let me just finish with this. The scariest thing about hell is that it's forever. We don't fully understand. Are you sitting here? It's forever. It's forever. There's people right now burning in hell. And it's real. You think of 10,000 years. That's a long time. We only live for 70 years if lucky. But think of 10,000 years and you're still in hell. Think of 200,000 years. You're still in hell. Think of 200 million years. You're still in hell. The most scariest thing about being in hell is you're in hell, you're in hell, you're in hell, and you're burning, burning, burning for all eternity. For all eternity. The reason why I got saved was I didn't want to go to hell. Amen? I didn't want to go to hell. And you know, the Bible says some saved by fear and some by compassion. I was one of those that was saved by fear. I didn't want to go to hell. Because God is holy and He's got every right to put me there. And He's got every right to put you there as well. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. If you look around, I will embarrass you. Let me say this first. If you're here and you're not saved, and you know you're not saved, if you're not saved, you know it. Would you raise your hand? All I'm going to do is pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. Raise your hand if you're not saved. That's one. That's two. Allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you this minute. Amen. You can put your hands down now. And let me say number as well. If you're a Christian and you know you're lukewarm, just allow the Lord to deal with you now. He's a holy, holy, holy God. He wants 100% of you. He doesn't want 99%. He wants all of your heart. I pray you'd understand that, and I pray you'd know that. Give that thing that is separating you between God, that's taken away the joy of your salvation, give that thing over to Him now. I'm just going to take a little time of quietness. Please deal with God. Please realize God wants to leave here. He wants you to leave as a Holy Spirit filled child of God. Amen. And I'm going to close in prayer. Oh Father, Father God, I pray for these teenagers. I pray for those that have raised their hand. Oh God, God, I pray you'd show yourself mighty. I pray that you'd save to the utmost. I pray, God, oh God, please come down and oh God, just show them that you're real. Show them the book is real. And show them that you're a holy, holy God and that you want to take away their sin. Please help them, I pray, oh God. And Lord, I pray also, if there's some teens here, God, and they've gotten away from you, I pray you'd light that fire in their hearts again as they would give whatever is stopping that blessing. I pray that you would help them this night, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to give that sin over to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would restore the blessings upon their life as they give their hearts over to you fully, 100%. And I thank you, Lord, for being so good. Thank you for your blessed name. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the blood. And we ask all these things in Jesus' lovely conquering name. Amen.